There's not much left to say. 39 to go. 18 games in 17 days. Just had an off day. Hope you enjoyed it. Don't have another one for another 2.5 weeks. As the whiteboard says, it's go time. You're locked on.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday. Weekend is here. I'm Dominic Catronio. This is Locked On Brewers, your only daily podcast dedicated to the Brew Crew. All season long, we post episodes Monday through Friday right here on our podcast channels. Apologies to the YouTube folks. Hotel Wi-Fis and such has been weird this week, but this one is back up on YouTube and going to backdate yesterday's as well up there too. Thank you for tuning in. I'm the statistician for Bally Sports Wisconsin, and I'm the post-game host on Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. You can catch me live after all three games this weekend against those Cubbies, and we have participation there live on the show. You can call in, text in, tweet me, whatever. But here, Locked On Brewers, we got about 20 minutes to just talk about the Brew Crew. And let me tell you, man, after yesterday's off day, I don't know what else there is for me to say. I had Brewers Weekly last night on WTMJ, and I could sit here and just repeat myself over and over and over till I'm blue in the face saying, all right, you're about to face 18 straight sub-500 teams. You knew that already. But you also know the Brewers struggle against sub-500 teams for some reason. They're not dominating them like they did last season. I can also tell you how good they've been in September in 2018 and 2019. But you already knew that. They were a little more average last year in September. This is it, man. I mean, it's now or never, because lurking at the end of this stretch, at the end of this 18 games in 17 days, you have that one last gauntlet remaining. Two against the Cardinals down in St. Louis, three at home for the Yankees, three at home for the Mets. It's not getting any easier. No one asked it to get easier, but this is the stretch where, while it being a marathon, you need to find out what you're made of and if you're going to actually make the postseason. Let's start things off with just a standings update here, as not everybody was active yesterday. However, the Cardinals did beat the Cubs. We're pretty much virtually at the point now, we're nearing it anyway, of saying Central might be out of the picture. Too far back right now for the Brew Crew. Brewers are now 6 games back at the Cardinals. 7 in the win column, 5 in the loss column, so you make it 6. Only 4 more games head-to-head with them. That's going to be a heck of a tall ask, and something would have to happen for St. Louis for that to fall down, but you never know. Crazy things have happened, like last year with what the Cardinals did. And they're currently essentially 2 games back of the Padres. Still a game and a half, but we're just going to call it 2 for now because of the fact that there is no tiebreaker. You need to win that one. However, there was some news that came out yesterday out of the team that San Diego is chasing in the Philadelphia Phillies. The Phillies are now going to be without Zach Wheeler for a little while. He's going on the IL. They are getting Bryce Harper back. And another thing that happened in Wednesday's action is Josh Hader returned to the rotation. I shouldn't say rotation, but to the bullpen, and actually pitched the 8th inning, a soft landing in that 7-0 loss they had against the Guardians. In case you're wondering, Hader, he allowed 2 hits. All 3 outs, though, were on strikeouts. His ERA is up to 5.17, but hey, that's there. We got to worry about here. Updates health-wise for the Brewers. Today, we are expected to hear that Jace Peterson will be activated off the injured list from his injured elbow, and you would expect Pablo Reyes to be optioned back to AAA once that move is made official. He appeared in 3 games in Appleton, did Jace. He had 9 at-bats, 2 hits, also had a walk, 3 strikeouts, just trying to get his feet underneath him. He played both third base and he played the outfield, which is interesting to me. More on that a little bit later, as I'm going to talk about lineups a little bit later in the show. But Jace, for all intents and purposes, is expected to be activated today. There's a few other roster moves I failed to mention last week, or last episode, I should say, for what the Brewers did and how they're working around their 40-man right now. Our hunch about the guys like Jake Cousins and Justin Topa being used up for their maximum time on rehab assignment was accurate. So Topa had already been optioned down to AAA last week while his 30 days was up. Now Jake Cousins' 30 days is up. He has been optioned down to AAA. In order to do that, the Brewers designated JC Mejia for assignment, DFA'd him. They outrighted him, which means he is eligible to be plucked by another team off waivers. He they're just trying to take him off the 40-man, which obviously they did, but now if he does stay in the organization, he would have to be added back to the 40-man if he's going to make the team. But quite frankly, this offseason, he's probably going to elect to become a free agent again. For the Brewers, Trevor Kelly was optioned to make room for Hauser being activated as well. That was coming on Wednesday, and the 40-man is full again. But now, for the first time in a while, you can say, well, there's not like you need to add anybody imminently. There's nobody on the 60-day IL right now that would be pitching this season, i.e. Miguel Sanchez is the only one that's on the 60-day IL right now. The only other guy that you would think, like, well, when is he going to join the team is Trevor Rosenthal. Trevor Rosenthal has pitched in a couple of games in the minor leagues so far. In Nashville, he's appeared in 3 games. He's only thrown 2 innings, 4 hits, 4 runs, 2 homers, 3 walks, 2 strikeouts. Diving into Rosenthal's game logs, he's pitched just about every other day. The first 2 days, he went the 17th and the 19th. He allowed only got one out on the 19th, allowing a home run, 2 hits, only got one out. And then on the 23rd, so that would put you on Tuesday, 2/3 of an inning, 2 hits, 3 runs, a homer, 2 walks, and a strikeout. Not exactly encouraging for the guy that's supposed to be coming back and obviously got a prorated deal for his salary, but we'll see, man. He's probably going to pitch again in the minor leagues a few more times. He is on rehab. He is already on the 40-man, just in case you were wondering. He's only on the 15-day IL. He is eligible to come off, dealing with his strained hamstring, but there would have to be a move currently if the Brewers add him on, which naturally would probably be Peter Strzelecki or Jason Alexander going back down to AAA. But the thing to remember is in just under a week now, September 1st, the roster expands. You can add one more bench bat and one more pitcher. It could be a starter or a reliever, but that's what they're looking at right now. The other injury updates, Mike Brosseau is on the injured list now with a strained oblique. They expect him to miss the minimum number of days. We'll get an update today from Craig Counsell, but it's something that he had been dealing with all year. They expect him to miss the minimum 10 days. As for Aaron Ashby, shoulder inflammation, we'll get a further update today as well to see what the timetable looks like for him, because as we're only 39 games to go, if you spend a full stint on an IL of 15 days, you've probably got four more starts maximum to build you back up and be ready to go, or they throw him in the bullpen. It's something to be considered. And Trevor Gott, we're waiting an update on him. He was placed retroactively 2 weeks ago on the 11th, and it's a strained forearm. So who knows if he's going to pitch again this year. It doesn't sound like Gustave is coming back anytime soon with his forearm discomfort. He's been gone since the end of July. And Sanchez is on the 60-day IL with UCL discomfort. Bullpen's kind of all over the place. As for other roster news, everyone wants to talk about Sal Frelick. Everyone wants to talk about Esteury Ruiz. And I'll reiterate again, Esteury Ruiz is already on the 40-man. Sal Frelick is not, which means if they are going to call up an outfielder, it would be Esteury Ruiz. And in case you're wondering, Ruiz now in Nashville, .333 average in his 18 games. He's 23 for 69. 6 doubles, no homers, 4 runs batted in. His walks and strikeouts have kind of gone back the other direction of what he was doing earlier in the year. 7 walks, 17 strikeouts, which is still not bad, but given that it was a big improvement for him this year in 2022, that his walk rate improved exponentially, still doesn't strike out a whole lot compared to modern baseball, but right now with the Brewers, he's striking out about a little over 20%, which is better than league average. So that's all you can really ask for these days. He's got an .823 OPS. And once again, to reiterate, Sal Frelick, if he gets added to the roster, I would be shocked. But he's going to make things very interesting come non-roster invitee time next spring in 2023. The Brewers will have decisions looming in their outfield. Sal doesn't even need to be put on the 40-man roster yet because he's still got time until he's placed or at least eligible to be plucked from the Rule 5 draft. The only other players on the 40-man in AAA are pitchers. So Justin Topa, Jake Cousins, Trevor Kelly, Luis Perdomo, and Ethan Small. And Ethan Small had a very short start yesterday due to pitch count, though, mostly. He ran into trouble in the second inning with those walks again. So I doubt we see Ethan Small again this season for what he's done down in AAA. But if in case you're wondering about Bryce Terang, or in case you're wondering about Joey Weimer, or in case you're wondering about Garrett Mitchell, they've got a lot of talent all of a sudden there now in AAA. But when you look at guys that are eligible to be plucked from the Rule 5 draft, that would be candidates to be added to the 40-man this year. Bryce Terang will be added to the 40-man this offseason. Joey Weimer does not need to be added yet this offseason. Garrett Mitchell does not need to be added yet this offseason. So the only guy that needs to of the primary top prospects would be Terang. And Frelick, in fact, has another year compared to Weimer and Mitchell. Both Weimer and Mitchell are 2023 guys to be eligible for the Rule 5 draft, whereas Frelick is a 2024. Keep that in mind as you ask, where's Frelick? Where's Ruiz? Ruiz is going to be the one called up if they call somebody up. Okay? Let's talk about the lineups now. We're going to have a preview on the starting pitchers here in just a little bit. Talking about the lineups, Brewers are facing another couple of lefties against these Cubs, and BetOnline can let you know, hey, they're not favored, they're favored. They know about the southpaw struggles. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. You can find your favorite sports and events at your number one online source for odds, lines, and games. They've got golf on there, too. You got the Tour Championship happening right now. NFL futures, preseason game hit yesterday for the Packers. I saw Patrick Mahomes played, but Aaron Rodgers didn't. Okay, it's preseason. Who cares? We're still 3 weeks away from the season. NHL, NBA, and more is all at BetOnline. You can use your phone or you can use your desktop to learn more about the action happening today. BetOnline is where the game starts. Look at these lineups. Looking at lineups right now for the Brewers, trying to figure out what's going to work. How are they going to figure things out? Because you got a lefty going tonight, Justin Steele, a lefty going tomorrow, and Drew Smyly, and then a ground ball righty going on Sunday. Do the Brewers, I think you have to keep Roland Castanheira out there. He's going to be a wild card here down the stretch. Do you keep Christian Yelich in a leadoff spot? I think so, because you don't have a bona fide leadoff hitter aside from him against lefties. Not that Christian Yelich torches lefties. That's not what I'm saying. But Colton Wong was the leadoff hitter for the first half of the season before his injuries kind of booted him out of it, and they put Yelich there out of necessity. And Colton Wong, let me remind you guys why he doesn't play against lefties. His splits have been atrocious this season against southpaws. He's hitting just .116 with a .363 OPS against left-handed pitching. Whereas last season, he had a .297 batting average against lefties and a .790 OPS. That's shocking how fast that fell off for him, which is why the Brewers really avoid him. He doesn't even have an extra base hit against a lefty this season. In case you're wondering about Roddy Tellez, why does he keep batting 6th and 7th against lefties? Well, this year he's regressed a little bit as far as the power production goes. A .672 OPS for your everyday first baseman against lefties is a glaring hole. His batting average is virtually the same for both, .230, .231, but he's in a cold slump right now. Over his last 7 days, he's just 2 for his last 21. Both of those hits are solo home runs. Are you really surprised? He's got 26 homers on the year. It would be a heck of a finish for him to be 30-30, but he can still get to 30 home runs. But looking at the lineup against the lefty tonight, my optimum lineup would look something like this. Christian Yelich leading things off, playing left field. Batting second, Willie Adames. He's the shortstop, of course. This is where I get bold. Batting third, Hunter Renfroe. Batting fourth, Castanheira. And then batting fifth, Andrew McCutchen. Here's why. I know that's four consecutive lefty or righties right there against a lefty. The reason why is because, number one, you've got Hunter Renfroe, who's looking like he's getting into one of those modes where he's going to carry the team again. He's been starting to warm up. Number two, you put Kesson in the cleanup spot because that gives him protection with McCutchen batting behind him. And we know Kesson struggles against lefties, but he's been getting better as of late. If he knows he's going to see pitches in the zone and the pitcher knows he has to attack him, given Andrew McCutchen, who torches lefties, is waiting on deck, maybe Kesson takes advantage and gets a mistake. You talk about lineup protection. Aaron Judge, while Giancarlo Stanton was out for a while and Anthony Rizzo missed time, you saw his numbers deflate because he was getting a ton of pitches not to swing at. Whereas now, maybe Kesson will get pitches to swing at, knowing that Andrew McCutchen is behind him. That's where I differ of what I see the value in putting Kesson in the cleanup spot and McCutchen batting fifth. And I would put Kesson, shockingly, at second base. I know Urias, and this is assuming Jace is not starting because it is a left-handed pitcher. So I would put Hira at second base and Urias at third base still because Jace would not start against a left-hander. And I'm still going to keep Rowdy in there for that power bat, and he's going to bat after Andrew McCutchen in the sixth spot. Victor Caratini, of course, gets the start as the catcher, the switch hitter. Narvaez does not play against lefties. You're going to slide in. Now that Mike Brosseau is gone, you might need to play a Jace against the lefty, or you may need to play a Pablo Reyes, however long he sticks around, to slide into that last spot. And then, of course, center field, either Davis or Taylor finishes off that order. Is it perfect? No, but I think it's time to get a little bold with Keston and see what you can get out of him against lefties. Whereas against righties, I still think you can find a way to get Keston in there. It might be time to give Kutch a little more time off against righties, maybe some that he doesn't have as much of a reputation against, or maybe some that he doesn't have as much experience against. It's not that Kutch is playing bad against righties. That's not what I'm saying. He's hit righties actually fairly well this season compared to his career-long averages, hitting .251 against righties, but not as much slug against righties. A .371 slug against righties, whereas a .457 slug against lefties. But he, too, is cold. Over his last 2 weeks, he's hitting just .150, but a lot of the Brewers are cold. Of his seven hits, three of them are homers. And as I talked about in the other show against the Dodgers, the Brewers don't hit doubles. They only hit homers. So where does the sustainability come for the Brewers lineup? Does it come with hits with runners in scoring position? Does it come with stringing a couple of doubles together like the Dodgers did in the finale of that series? Where does it come from? How does this lineup figure itself out as opposed to hitting a million homers? Can you get some sustainable, consistent offense against a left-hander? They've been searching that all season long. You know that. I know that. And the Brewers know that. So we can sit here and harp on it all day. But the Brewers have not had a very consistent lineup, to say the least. They have a few spots at the interchange here and there, but now that everyone's healthy, and collectively a lot of guys started to slump at the same time until Renfroe and Adames woke up in Los Angeles, I don't know where it comes from. I don't know where the spark is, aside from Willie and aside from Yelich at the top of this order against the lefty, because Renfroe will continue to perform, but then the guys you rely on to perform, like McCutchen, if there's nobody on ahead of them, if Hira continues to struggle against lefties, if Rowdy's not even in the lineup, if Wong's not even in the lineup, then it becomes a black hole after the fifth spot in the order. That's what the Brewers are looking for right now. Who's going to be that spark in the bottom half of the order and to make sure this lineup gets a little bit longer against left-handers down the stretch? Because you know with these four games against the Cardinals, somehow you're going to see Jose Quintana twice in both of them. You're probably going to see Jordan Montgomery as well. It's just the way it works, right? The Cardinals know that the Brewers struggle against lefties, and specifically against their lefties. So they're going to make sure to step on the throat of the Brewers so that they have no chance with a lefty going against them. Makes sense? That's what I would do. Makes total sense. Let's get ready for this series now. Freddy Peralta getting the ball tonight. A 7-10 first pitch coming up this evening. As then tomorrow, it'll be a 6-10 first pitch back to the night games on Saturdays with Brandon Woodruff going against Drew Smyly. And then finally on Sunday, a 1-10 first pitch, Eric Lauer against Adrian Sampson. Freddy Peralta, 4-3, 4.08 ERA. It's been hit or miss since he's come off the injury list. His last start against the Cubs was solid. Six innings, four hits, two runs, both earned on a home run. Three walks, though. Five strikeouts. He's had three or more walks in each of his last two starts, one against the Dodgers and one now against the Cubs. Does the adjustment get made now, facing the same opponent back-to-back starts? Can he get more swing and miss? We haven't really seen the swing and miss stuff from Freddie since he came off the injured list. The most strikeouts he's had since coming off the IL is just five, which he had against the Cubs last week in Wrigley, and part of that's because he went six innings. And for the Brewers, they're going to rely on Freddie to give him some length. Yes, they had the off day here yesterday, but they would like to not only have Freddie to give him length, but try to get a bigger lead. How luxurious did that feel on Monday night if you stayed up to watch a 1-0 game, you're biting your nails, Matt Busch gets a clutch double play, a turn behind him, and then the Brewers with Devin Williams warming up, you're like, oh gosh, oh gosh, oh gosh, oh gosh, oh gosh. Oh my goodness, they added on runs. Oh my God, they added on another. Oh my God, Keston Hira just hit a home run. How good does that feel? That's what the Brewers have to do. They have to make it hurt against the Cubs. Let everybody just get off edge for a little bit. I'm sick of these close games against the Cubs. Every single game last weekend in Chicago, close, two extra inning games. Thrillers, obviously, but sick of these close contests down the stretch. But that's what the Brewers are. That's their brand of baseball. So Freddy Peralta would certainly appreciate some run support. He's 1-1 with a 3.38 ERA in his four starts since coming off the injured list. Granted, that's only in 18 2/3 innings in which he has nine walks. So he's averaging 4.5 walks per nine. That's got to come down against the Cubs coming up later on tonight. Again, another lefty, Justin Steele. The Brewers have seen him plenty. He shoved against them last week down at Wrigley Field. See what he can do against them this time around. He ended up with a total of 9 strikeouts in 6 innings. Again, thanks to David Ross for pulling him maybe an inning too soon. He only threw 90 pitches. But in the month of August, he's only allowed 2 earned runs. He is really on a roll right now. And this stretch really goes back even to the start of July. Going back to July 4th, he's only allowed 3 earned runs or more in just 1 start. It was still a quality start against the Baltimore Orioles. Everything else, listen to these lines. These last 8 starts for earned runs. 1 earned run, 3 earned runs, 1 earned run, 0 earned runs, 0 earned runs, 2 earned runs, 0 earned runs, 0 earned runs. So if it makes you feel any better, Justin Steele's doing this against other teams as well. But the Brewers, as you know, have massively struggled against left-handed pitching this year. And they'll see another one for the first time coming up tomorrow. Drew Smyly, who's been hurt a ton of this season, he's 5-7, a 3.47 ERA. He was signed as a free agent this past offseason. He missed time with the bereavement list. He had a right oblique strain. He missed a little over a month. He was activated July 10th. As far as what he's done lately with the Cubs, this season, 3-0, as we said, he's a 5-7 with a 3.47 ERA. It'll be his 18th start coming up tomorrow. He has not faced the Brewers this season. He's coming off of 7 strong innings against the Cardinals in a tough luck loss. And that was the game that Albert Pujols hit a home run, and it was the only run of the game. They lost 1-0, and Jordan Montgomery went the distance with a Maddox on 99 pitches. So he's coming off of that pitcher's duel. He, too, has been pitching great in the month of August, a 1.13 ERA. And the Brewers, yes, they're a better team probably offensively than the Cubs, but pitching-wise, they have been dominating the month of August. It's been very impressive to see what Tommy Hotovy has been doing down there at Wrigley. Hat tip, even though they are your rivals. What they've done pitching-wise, especially with the starters, looking at their numbers as a team ERA, starting pitching ERA in August, pulling it up right now on Fangraphs. By the way, if you don't subscribe to Fangraphs, you should. Fangraphs has the Chicago Cubs with the 9th best starter ERA in all of baseball in the month of August at 3.23. The Dodgers are first. The Rays are third, but remember, the Rays use openers from time to time. Cardinals are actually 8th, only a 0.01 ahead of the Cubs. And you think of the Cardinals being really, really good at starting pitching as of late. In case you're wondering, the Brewers starter ERA is 4.37, which is 23rd in Major League Baseball in the month of August. Looking at you, Freddie, to try to write that trend here tonight as the Brewers will get ready to open up with 3 against the Cubbies. 7:10 tonight, 6:10 tomorrow, 1:10 Sunday. All 3 games can be found on Bally Sports Wisconsin. Again, Peralta tonight, Woodruff tomorrow, Lauer on Sunday. You would hypothetically think that Corbin Burnes would slide into Monday to open up against the Pirates, who have given him fits all season long. A 3-game set coming up with Pittsburgh Monday through Wednesday. No starters have been announced for that yet. And then the Brewers will go on the road to Arizona for Labor Day weekend, taking on the Diamondbacks. Probably will see a fresher Madison Bumgarner. They're skipping his start. You'll see Zach Gallen most likely with it being a 4-game series. You're going to see some good arms coming up these next couple of weeks. You'll probably see JT Brubaker as well with the Pirates. So none of these teams are going to roll over, but you and I both know the Brewers on paper should be winning these teams. Get past the speed bump and see what you can do. And a quick scheduling note here. Again, I'll be on Brewers Extra Innings tonight after the game, so you can call in, join on the show. Be on it all weekend long, all next week as well. And I'll actually be live in Arizona, my hometown, back in Phoenix, for next weekend series. So be there live Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, back in the Valley of the Sun, just for kicks and giggles, as yesterday was a beautiful day here in Milwaukee. I just want to look at what the weather has been in Phoenix. It's monsoon season right now, so they've got a ton of rain by Phoenix standards as of late. But just going to go ahead and jump ahead and close out this podcast looking at the future cast for what the Brewers' weather is going to look like when they head out to Phoenix next weekend. Pulling it up here. There we go. When they arrive, it'll be 107 degrees with a chance of a monsoon. 105, 106, 104, 103. That's not bad, actually. You never know what you're going to get at the end of September, early or end of August, early September. That's pretty pleasurable. And thank goodness they got air conditioning at Chase Field. That's it. We'll be back with a podcast on Monday of Locked On Brewers. In case you missed Brewers Extra Innings, that's also posted in podcast form over wherever you get your podcast, Apple Podcasts. You can listen on the 620 WTMJ app. You can listen on 620WTMJ.com, or you can listen in your radio if you're leaving the game. Join in. Let's have some fun. Thank you for listening. Little ramblings here on an off day. Let's enjoy some baseball, all right? Just sit back, relax, and let's see what they can do. Let's let them play ball. Then we'll add them all up at the end and see if they're in or not. This is it. It's go time. 39 to go. Let's have some fun. All right, everybody. Keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers. Your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.